goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Moy to try a long hit. What a goal from Moy. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Ready to go here in 2024? Sports scene is blowing up in Houston. Changing the H. Dynamo make the playoffs. Texans now in. Plus the Rockets turning things around. Stroh's always in and around it. It's good times for us. And by the way, sports affecting the moods of all of us, right? That's why we love it. By the way, CJ Stroud, how impressive is that young man? And who doesn't want to get behind an athlete like that? Happy New Year, everyone out there tuning in live via Twitch, which, by the way, we have rolling here tonight. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. You can also call in the show tonight, 713-780-3776. So, as you may or may not know, we have changed the times of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And by the way, we're always presented by the great Daspit Law Firm. So, every Wednesday and Thursday from 7 to 8 Central. So, there'll be two shows every week, but we're in the 7 to 8 time slot. So it enables me to maybe change my approach to the show a little bit. Gives us an earlier time slot. Hoping to get more phone calls here at 713-780-3776 to weigh in. Live guests, roundtables, more of your calls and opinions in store for us in 2024. So really looking forward to that. As always, I want your feedback for what you are interested in to have on this show. And we're following up with Joe George and the bullpen. One of the hardest working men in the game right there, Joe George. Call in number tonight, as always, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We stream at ESPN975.com. There was so much to talk about, and we're going to be right back on the air again tomorrow night. I've got Christian Ramirez of the Columbus Crew, won the MLS Cup. That should be a great interview. Tonight we have Alexi Lalas, the former U.S. international, and Fox Sports commentator joining me. I've already had a couple of hits on Twitter where some people have said they are not going to listen to the show. I would simply ask why. Why won't you listen to Alexi Lalas? Okay. I mean, it's your choice. I would hate to think that you won't listen to the show. Because he does have the biggest platform in America when it comes to talking about the game, whether you like him or not. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Now, I hope your holidays were great. So I had a mission on mine. Mine was, I got a 97-year-old mother in New Jersey. My mission was to spend a week every day going to visit her in the facility she's in. So I drove to New Jersey, believe it or not, which may have been the best decision I could have made based on airports and delays and a sister of mine coming from San Diego got stuck in Charlotte. But I drove to New Jersey. It's 23 hours in total. You take your time. I stayed in Natchez, Mississippi, incredible town with history. I stayed in Nashville after doing the amazing Natchez Trace Parkway, which is a two-lane road that goes for 452 miles. It's one of America's most scenic drives. If you've never done it, you want to go to Nashville, you pick it up in Natchez. And I would suggest you look around Natchez. But it is basically a road that parallels the old historic trade and slave route to the south. There are so many historical things on here. I mean, you would be pulling over every 2 miles along with natural beauty. So the trail runs parallel to the road. It's a two-lane highway. There's no trucks in there. There was nobody in there. It was super, super isolated and quiet. Indian burial grounds, Choctaw Indians, ponds, streams, lakes. The famous explorer from Lewis and Clark, Meriwether Lewis, is buried in there. can see his tomb, Civil War history, hikes, nature, wild turkey, deer, all these historic stopping points. It's amazing. It's peaceful. It's quiet. It's the second time I've done it. And I did it both up and on the way back. So pretty good. Guillermo, Lazo Romero, our producer extraordinaire. How was your holidays?
It was great. You know, usually in the holidays, I go to Monterrey. That's where my family's from. But this year, cousins from Mexico City came in and visited. So it was good. It was good. Some good time with some great people.
Yeah, family time is wonderful. By the way, Guillermo is sporting the Monterrey Rayados jacket here tonight. He's happy about Brandon Vasquez going there. We'll probably talk about that with Alexi Lalas and all. Because there is, you know, it's interesting. Whenever there's a U.S. player that, you know, signs, it almost becomes sort of a take on the American player, right? Oh, he's going to Monterrey. He's not going to Europe. Or, you know, how is it, you know, how is it that Miles Robinson is remaining in MLS with FC Cincinnati? And these are very good things to talk about. It doesn't mean it's a total take on the state of soccer in the U.S. Okay, Franz Beckenbauer passed away. This is, man, we have lost legends of the game in recent times here. And it's amazing within a few days you lose Franz Beckenbauer and Mario Zagallo. Mario Zagallo, the Brazil player and coach, Beckenbauer, player and coach, two of three men that are the only men to have won the World Cup as both player and coach. Okay, remarkable stuff. The other is Didier Deschamps of France, who is still active and younger than them. But we have lost giants of the game. Bobby Charlton as well, and then Pelé prior to that. I mean, you think of the impact these people have had on the game. You think of the impact that Franz Beckenbauer had on the game here in the United States when he came to the New York Cosmos. The eyeballs that he brought along with the other stars on that team. The position that Beckenbauer played is obvious, a sweeper. But as a center back and a sweeper, he attacked from that position. Now, that's a position that doesn't exist anymore. Center backs attack, but you don't have anybody dropping off behind a line of defenders anymore. It's just not possible to play that way with the athleticism and the quality now. But Franz Beckenbauer was as elegant as they came, the way he carried himself. During a game, it was amazing to watch him at Giant Stadium, and I was lucky for that because, you know, sometimes you get lucky. You're just in the right place at the right time. Well, I was lucky to be in the right place at the right time, like everybody in New Jersey. You know, you hear Todd Ramos talk about it. You hear Tony Meola talk about it, John Harkes, all of my teammates and stuff growing up, all of us who were in that New York area as younger guys and looking at that team. Boy, did you elicit potential dreams? And then we would look at, because in the North American Soccer League, you had to only have a couple Americans on the field, and usually it was a goalkeeper and a defender a lot of the times, not all the time. And you'd say, ah, could you be one of those guys? But anyway, back to Franz Beckenbauer. Incredibly elegant. Did not have to get into a lot of physical confrontation as a defender because he read the game so well. He would do this thing where he'd basically pirouette on the ball with the outside of his foot, which was remarkable. One of these athletes that doesn't look like he breaks a sweat, right? Effortless is the word you put in, right? Incredible. The use of the outside of the foot by this guy is something, though, that I really wanted to kind of key on with Beckenbauer. The way he bent the ball with the outside of his foot. You know, a lot of times that's reserved for South American footballers a little bit more. You know, Argentines and Colombians, Brazilians, but Beckenbauer used the outside of his foot a ton. But just an amazing leader, an amazing competitor in his own way, carried himself beautifully, and distributor of the ball. You know, he'd play a 1-2 out of the back with full confidence, right? He also had Carlos Alberto back there as well. Talk about two defenders that, you know, didn't have to get into physical confrontation to read things and break up plays. But Franz Beckenbauer, unbelievable career, Bayern Munich as well. All the testimony is coming in now. But he has a huge, huge connection to the growth of the sport in this country. I don't think there's any question. One of the most elegant players you would ever see play the game. And all the testimonies coming in from everybody. You know, FIFA presidents, German chancellors. Here's a German chancellor, Olaf Scholz. He says, quote, World Cup winner as a player and coach, Franz Beckenbauer was one of the greatest footballers in Germany. And for many, Der Kaiser, also because of the excitement for German football he created for generations. We will miss him. My thoughts are with his family and friends. By the way, he was with West Germany when he won it. All right, we got some sound from Jurgen Klopp, the German coach of Liverpool. So let's hear what Jurgen Klopp had to say as a German, speaking about the legendary Franz Beckenbauer, who has passed.
Even the greatest have to go at one day. He had 78 years. He was a fantastic person. He was one of Germany's best footballer ever. But he was an even better person, and I'm not. That's really difficult to reach, but he did that, and we had contact from time to time, and it was always great to talk to him. It was always great to meet him, and the world will be a completely different place without him. And that was the thing I really had to process, because I don't know a world without him, and that's the first day pretty much. And it's a different place. Let me say like that. We will miss him, and I will miss him a lot.
So that was Jurgen Klopp, the manager of Liverpool, on Franz Beckenbauer. Here's Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, another one of the great German national team players, longtime CEO of Bayern Munich. Rummenigge says, quote, I am deeply shocked. Franz Beckenbauer rewrote the history of German football and left a lasting impact on it. He was my captain at FC Bayern, my coach at the national team, our president at Bayern. And in all of these roles, he was not only successful, but unique. As a personality, he impressed with his great respect for all people, because everyone was equal before Franz. German football is losing the greatest personality in its history. We will miss him more than painfully. Thank you for everything, dear Franz. If you have a Franz Beckenbauer thought, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-ESPN is the number to call in here tonight. I would love to hear if you've got something to say about the legendary Franz Beckenbauer, who has passed. Now, Mario Zagallo also passed. World Cup winner with Brazil as both a player and a manager. So, you know, this is incredibly difficult stuff when you're talking about these legends. Mario Zagallo, Brazilian World Cup winner, died at 92 years of age. Legendary figure in the history of the game. Legendary, just like Franz Beckenbauer. And legendary, by the way, gets tossed around rather easily and liberally at times. Mario Zagallo was legendary. And here's a few reasons why. He was a striker as a player at Flamengo and Botafogo. Two-time World Cup winner for Brazil. As a player with Brazil, he was on the legendary Pelé teams of 58 and 62. Now, remember, back then, a lot of the great players maybe only got 30 to 50 caps. It's not like now where people are breaching the 100. There were less games played. There were less friendlies. In 1970, Zagallo was the coach of Brazil when he won the World Cup in Mexico over Italy. And to this day, in places like the Estadio Jalisco in Guadalajara, Brazil is still revered in Mexico. He was the coach of that team. In 94, believe it or not, here in the U.S., he was an assistant to then Carlos Alberto Pereira when Brazil beat Italy to take the World Cup here in the United States. Pretty incredible. So rest in peace, Franz Beckenbauer. The German legend, rest in peace, Mario Zagallo. But these are people that are pillars, giants, legends of the game of football in the world. And we're going to call that our World Cup 2026 update, brought to you by Soccer Matters there. talking about Franz Beckenbauer and Mario Zagallo, because their ties to the World Cup are huge. All right, we got a lot going on here. Next segment, we got Alexi Lalas joining us. State of the Union podcast, Fox Sports. It's always fun. The former U.S. international will join us next. I, again, will remind you, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. We are on Twitch, YouTube. You can go to our Soccer Matters channel, Twitter, Instagram, at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD. Of course, you can access this show at ESPN975.com. Also get the podcast at Spotify, Google, and Apple. So again, I remind you, twice a week now, 7 o'clock, earlier time slots, 7 to 8 Central Time. Tomorrow we will have Christian Ramirez of the Columbus Crew on this show. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Alexi Lalas next.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
How's that for intro music? It's not Glenn Davis, that's Rat. Stephen Piercy, who I think my celebrity friend Alexi Lalas knows. How about that? By the way, I saw a metal trio. I saw Warrant. I saw Winger with Kip Winger. And Lita Ford. That was some hard rocking. It's good stuff. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, you can hit us on the Twitch. It's Daspit Law, our presenting sponsor, and it enables us to bring on guests like this. He is Alexi Lalas. He joins us now. Alexi, thanks for coming on.
Ah, Glenn. Ah, you're warming the cockles of my redheaded American heart there with the intro music from Rat, and then you segue right into some Warrant and Winger and Lita Ford. Oh, love it. Love it, my friend. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. This is going to be a lot of fun. You know, it makes me want to tear this headset off and look for some hard rock and music here in Houston right now. You know, if it goes silent here, you'll know I left the building.
You got to do what you got to do, my friend. I can take over. I can, you know, I mean, it's big shoes to fill, but I try my best.
So I want to ask you about Stephen Piercy. Pretty cool cat?
Very cool cat. And for those that don't know, Stephen Piercy, lead singer of Rat. I feel it's the greatest rock and roll band in American and, history. Yeah, he's a very cool cat. You know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I also grew up knee-deep in, like, the MTV generation. So the visual part of the package, if you will, nowadays we would call it the brand, right? The visual part of music was so important. And, you know, MTV was tailor-made for the style of the times. And, you know, me sitting in my room in suburban Detroit, the Sunset Strip couldn't be any further away. But there was just a mesmerizing type of allure to me. The music, the fashion, the bombast of it just really spoke to me, and forever has. And, you know, we all have our they're not guilty pleasures. I'm not guilty about it at all. But we all have those bands that speak to us, and sometimes we can't even explain why. It just hits you at the right moment, and it hit me at the right moment. And I can tell you exactly where I was when I first put the needle down. Back then, we used records for the kids out there, and we put the needle down, and the first song that I heard, and I've been a Rat fan ever since.
And we love vinyl. I'm still doing the vinyl. Are you?
I'm not a big vinyl dude. I mean, I get the whole nostalgia and the experience of it, but just from a pure audiophile perspective, I don't need that. I don't need to hear the scratches. And so it does bring me back, but I don't have a vinyl collection like others. So you do you, and for all the other vinyl folks out there, that's cool. But I'm good with I'm even good with MP3s and stuff like that. I'm not picky.
There you go. By the way, I think I asked you that question the last time I interviewed you. Nothing like being redundant in an interview, right? Alexi Lalas joining us.
It's all right. Rinse and repeat, my friend. It's
yeah,
okay.
It is okay. I think we're all sometimes redundant. Alexi Lalas, obviously you know him, the former U.S. international center back, World Cup veteran, Fox analyst, podcast, the Alexi Lalas State of the Union. Good one. All right, so Michigan, being a Detroit guy, Michigan winning the national championship here in Houston, what did that mean to you?
So my partner in crime over there at the State of the Union podcast, David Mossy, is a former Wolverine. I guess you're always a Wolverine, but he went to Michigan. And he was actually in Houston for the final. My wife is a huge Buckeye, Ohio State fan, and even she begrudgingly said, okay, if somebody has to win it, fine, have it be Michigan. I've learned about college football through my wife and through David Mossy going forward. We just did a show today and he's back from Houston, had a wonderful time. But I'll tell you what, he was a little nervous and he didn't have any reason to be because as far as I can tell, and I'm certainly no expert, Michigan did what they needed to do. And, you know, ultimately this was their game from start to finish. So congratulations, undefeated season for, the Wolverines and the Harbaugh guy with the khakis and the only coaching 9 games in the season. So all sorts of stuff on and off the field for the Wolverines. But it was a fun game to watch.
Alexi, as they said, it's Michigan against the world. I'm not sure the whole world knows right. about Michigan, but certainly the United States does. And everybody in and around that game. And by the way, Houston did a great job of presenting that, just like they will the World Cup in 2026. So that's fun. What was your memories growing up in Michigan, Detroit? I mean, did you go to Detroit Express games? I mean, where was some of your connection with the game?
Yeah, so, you know, my connections started early. I did a lot of the things that, you know, maybe your listeners did. And certainly, like I said, growing up in the 70s, 80s, it was a very different type of landscape than it is today. But I still did mom and dad coaching and orange peels and juice boxes at halftime. And the Detroit Express played in the Pontiac Silverdome, rest in peace, the Pontiac Silverdome up there. And so I saw a couple games, but I didn't have soccer players on my wall. I didn't watch a tremendous amount of soccer, and there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, it's obviously now with the streaming, it's just incredible. But this was a game that I appreciated and found that not only was I good, but I loved the connection and the international aspect of it. So that I knew when I walked out on my sidewalk in front of my house in suburban Michigan, I knew that there was a boy or girl on the other side of the world that was doing the exact same thing. I might not have anything in common with them in terms of language or culture or upbringing, but this was that thread that bound us. And that really appealed to me. The other part of the sport that really appealed to me was the freedom and the autonomy relative to other sports. And look, I grew up in Michigan. The law is you got to play hockey, and I played a lot of hockey, even more hockey at different times. But soccer was something different in that the whistle blew, and it was up to you. And yeah, you have set plays and some tactics and stuff, but it was up to you what you did. And I loved that freedom and ultimately that responsibility that you got out there on the soccer field.
Yeah. Alexi Lalas joining us here, State of the Union podcast. So I'm thinking here, you know, when you just made the reference to the hair bands and Rat, and we love Cinderella and all these bands, right? Poison, they were all here, the crew.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of had the hair band hair, right? Was that the kind of a direct node or bow to hair bands?
Well, look, Glenn, never has so much been done with a modicum of talent and plenty of hair care products. So, yeah, hair was a big thing back then in the way that I presented myself. And again, we didn't call it back then, but I was cultivating a brand. And, you know, there are pictures of me where I was rivaling the, you know, even the best of days from a Bon Jovi era in terms of that that big hair that we had back then. And it was comfortable. I loved it. I loved playing that part. And I always looked at myself as an entertainer and a performer. And a lot of the stuff that I did from a soccer perspective was stuff that I took from the music world, you know, especially the do-it-yourself type of fake it till you make it type of, mantra and approach that a lot of these bands had, and the aesthetic and the optics of what you were doing were part of that package that you were presenting. And look, I went on a field, which is the same thing as a stage. I went on I put a costume on, which is the same thing as putting a jersey on. I practice, which is the same thing as rehearsing. And then I went in front of an audience, which is the same thing as a crowd. And I didn't look at it anything different than any other performer or entertainer would look at it.
Alexi, when did that sort of idea of becoming an entertainer and making a brand of yourself come about? Because a lot of that may not have been early on dependent upon, you know, hey, I'm going to make money this way, or I'm going to get into broadcasting one day. When did that kind of be a thing for you?
Yeah, so I never grew up, you know, with the aspiration to be a professional soccer player, let alone to, I guess, make money at something like that. And so every level that I got, I just kind of figured is, if this is as good as it gets, this is pretty good, because I didn't have that type of expectation. But once you start not just playing, but playing well and getting that feedback, and look, let's be honest, it's feeding your ego. It becomes something that you crave. And look, we're you know, most of us that are either on television or you know, athletes, we want to do that. And we are a bunch of egotistical maniacs and narcissists to a certain perspective. But, you know, you want to go out there and you want to feel that. And I didn't care whether you were booing or cheering for me. I just didn't want you to, I didn't want any type of apathy. So if you were screaming and yelling and, you know, talking about my mother and throwing stuff, that was as good as if the entire stadium was cheering your name and being positive. But I wanted to have that interaction. And I think it was something that I craved, and something that I saw I could control with what I was doing on that stage. So as soon as you get out in front of a public, in front of an audience, and you have that type of interaction and that communication, I think it can become incredibly addictive.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And listen, even in my days in the ASL, you're playing in front of people. Even if it's one night at 900 or one night it's 4,000, you're still doing something, and you're going to get judged by your peers pretty quickly. We're talking to Alexi Lalas here of Fox Sports. And by the way, a nod to David Massey, because if anybody who's done play-by-play in America, you've probably worked or done color work on games in America like myself. And obviously, Alexi, you've worked with David. He's an exceptional talent. All right, Franz Beckenbauer, give me some thoughts on the sad news of him passing away, the impact, and what comes to your mind, Alexi?
Yeah, somebody over there on the X machine had asked me, you know, what German had the biggest influence and impact on American soccer? And I certainly think that you can make a case for someone like Franz Beckenbauer, obviously with the NASL, but more so just the image that he portrayed, and this larger than life type of figure, and the fact that he fundamentally changed the way we think about the position that he played. It's not that sweeper hadn't been a position. It was just the way that he played it made defenders and made just soccer folks that were looking at the game, whether it was fans or players, think about it in a completely different way. And you can count on one hand the amount of players that have done that. You look at someone like Cruyff and others that have made us think about the game in a different way. And he did that. And then he parlayed that into success as a coach. And then, you know, off the field with his leadership. And there was always a regalness about him. And, you know, so I got to meet him over the years, and I was out with the Metro Stars that turned into Red Bull when that whole transition happened, and Pelé came in and Beckenbauer came in, and I was just, this was the coolest thing that could possibly happen, having seen who he was and how much of an impact. And you talk about aura, and, you know, to be in the room with Pelé on one side and Franz Beckenbauer there, that's a lot of wattage, and it just was amazing to even be in the same room and to see how much they meant to people. What, and you know, now with his passing, again, you see people come out and talk about how important he was on and off the field over the years. So a tremendous loss, but man, oh man, if anybody ever left a mark on the game, it's someone like Franz Beckenbauer.
Boy, and what a reader of the game he was. I mean, he very rarely got into real physical confrontation, because he just was in places where the ball would arrive. He'd win the ball. He was, like to your point, he was playing 1-2s out of the back and going forward. I mean, obviously, just a remarkable guy to watch, almost like a ballerina. And the use of his outside of his foot, right? Like, like, I sometimes just don't, are we teaching that to youth, right? The use of the outside of the foot by the guy, whether we're changing direction or, you know, separating himself from pressure or passing a ball over 40 yards. It was incredible to watch. And look, I'm one of these lucky beneficiaries of being in the right place at the right time, location-wise, right? Your teammates, Tab Ramos, Tony Meola, John Horks, all these guys were like me. We just happened to be in the place where the Cosmos were and Beckenbauer and Pelé landed. All right, you ready for another segment, Alexi?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think we should we're going to talk some U.S. national team. I do want to talk a little bit more about your career and things. You are truly a wordsmith. That has served you very, very well in the broadcast industry. I don't think there's any question about that. All right. All right.
All right. Well, I'll try to come up with some more words in the off air here before we get to the next
thing. I love the dictionary. I mean, the phone. 713-780-3776. We'll also take calls if you got calls for Alexi. This is a lot of fun. Appreciate having him on tonight here. Alexi Lalas will come back. Final segment here tonight, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big shout out to Cactus Records, timely with us talking about hair bands. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, Lamont Brands, and Hugh O'Connor's Pub. We break, we come back.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Here is Alex Mowat. Delivers it towards the edge of the six-yard box. Oh, this is Bartley, and here's Darryl DK!
Wow! What a moment for Darryl DK. 268 days since coming off injured with an Achilles injury at the Bet365 Stadium. He lashes a loose ball into the roof of the net and celebrates like he's never scored a goal before in his life. What a moment for Darryl DK. That will mean so much to him.
Where he goes from distance, and oh my goodness! Timothy Ware opens up his tally with Juventus with an absolute screamer.
Well, those are definitely British voices calling those games. Those are definitely American goal scorers. Great to hear Darryl DK coming back for West Bromwich Albion. Played 45 minutes. Tim Weah also scoring. Exciting stuff. We welcome you back to Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. A little bit of Van Halen here. As we bring back our guest tonight here, Alexi Lalas. Alexi, all right, I'm going to just put this out to you. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned you're going to be on the show. One guy tells me he's not going to tune in. What's it like to be the most, what's it like to be the most listened to soccer personality in America? You got the biggest platform. You're the guy. You're the biggest voice. There's no question. I don't know if we lost Alexi. We did lose Alexi. He didn't like my question. Probably hung up on me. Hey, by the way, as we wait to get Alexi back, Darryl DK made it 4-0 for West Brom in a 4-1 FA Cup third-round victory. That goal was against Aldershot. He scored in the 27th minute. Tim Weah had a goal for Juventus against Salernitana, 6-1 victory in the Italian Cup. Now, I do want to remind you of the content we have coming to America this summer. You got the Copa America, and we're going to have three venue dates here in Houston at Energy Stadium. You got the European Championships, okay? You've got the Olympics, men and women's, in the summer. You have also African Cup of Nations coming up. So there's a ton of things going on. We're looking to get Alexi Lalas back soon here. Alexi, did we get you back?
I'm back, dude. I'm back.
You're back. I thought it was you heard that question that I asked you about, you know, having the big platform, being the voice of American soccer, and you hung up on me.
Hey, man. emotional. And when people take shots at me like that, you know, it hurts me deep. And so I had to take a minute, but I'm back.
Somehow I'm not believing that, but, you know, listen, this is what makes the world go round, you know, and I love the fact that you were talking about, you know, you loved it coming out into the theater, in front of the mm-hmm. fans, and you loved having people shout at you negative things, as long as it doesn't, you know, cross the path of you know, things that we should not say as human beings, whether it's racism, whether it's just stupid, vile stuff, which there are a lot of stupid, yep. vile people out there. I don't think there's any question. But, you know, I was thinking about this during the break, that the coach of San Antonio, Popovich, grabs the microphone and says, "Stop booing Kawhi Leonard." And I'm like, what is that? Now we can't have booing at games? I mean, what's the point of this?
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, it comes with the territory. I got a pretty thick skin. I've been doing this for a long time. And I'll be honest, you know, I grew up in a household where debate was encouraged. And looking at things from different angles, putting yourself in other people's shoes, was not only encouraged, it was mandated. You had to do that, and you had to defend your position. And, you know, suck it up, Buttercup. This is the world, and not everybody's always going to be kind. I like to think that people can be respectful and civil, but you know, you can also be provocative, and you can, you know, poke the bear and do all those different things. I enjoy debating. I enjoy going back and forth with people. And what I've found ultimately is that, you know, it's easy behind a keyboard. It's easy when you're anonymous, but oftentimes some of my best conversations are, you know, when I'm, you know, in an airport, or I'm at a bar, or, you know, I'm at an event or something like that. And we can actually have face-to-face human types of conversations, which is why I like talking to you and others out there. And look, you can feel free to disagree with me till the cows come home, and I'll defend my side, you defend your side. But ultimately, even if we don't agree, we can agree to disagree, and we can go on. Like you said, it's what makes the world go round. And I don't think our sport in particular has enough of that, let alone our country and our world out there. We've kind of picked our sides and moved to different places, and therefore the opportunity to, I'm not saying be united in that we all agree, but at least be united in the civility of being able to disagree and state our case and not hate the person when all is said and done. Because I know there's plenty of people out there that disagree with, you know, my thoughts on soccer, both on and off the field, and, you know, maybe my thoughts on life. That's okay. That's a good thing. I don't want to be in a situation where everybody agrees with me. To be quite honest, it makes for bad radio, it makes for bad television, and it ends up being pretty boring.
Oh, absolutely. Alexi Lalas joining us, Fox Sports. Also, State of the Union podcast with David Massey. We really appreciate coming on tonight. All right, so let's get into a couple of things here. You're head of marketing of MLS now. I've just appointed you that. How are you in mm-hmm. marketing the branding of the league right now with all the other competition we have in America? And I always have to remind my friends from foreign countries that, by the way, there's three other traditional sports here. There really isn't in Greece. There really isn't in most Western European countries even and around the world. So I guess let me rephrase this. Do you think MLS is being marketed in the way that you would want? And kind of what is our marketing angle here? What is our brand identity outside of Messi right now?
I do think that MLS is being marketed in a positive way, and one that I would agree with, in that it has, you know, from the start, and thankfully not, I guess, acquiesced or positioned itself as a feeder league or as another Eredivisie or something like that. Because I think that from an aspirational type of perspective, MLS wants to be more. MLS wants to be the biggest professional soccer league in the world. Now, that is, you know, that's a ways off. And to your point, all of the different unique challenges that MLS has relative to the country and cultures in both Canada and the United States that we deal with, and that history and where soccer isn't king. But if that's not the goal, then why do it? And I think in that aspect, it's the most American type of endeavor and ambition to have. I do think that we want it now, and I'm as guilty as anybody. But I think that there is an opportunity right now, as you know, with 2026 coming, to do big, bold things. And this is an opportunity unlike anything that MLS is going to have. Does it mean that you just spend stupid money? No, but it means that you do things that have the world notice and have these two countries in Canada and Mexico notice that haven't been done before. To put yourself in a position to be what Don Garber, the commissioner of MLS, would call a league of choice. Well, in order to do that, you have to start doing big, bold things. I don't think that they've done enough of that, but it's not my money. It's easy for us, Glenn, to spend other people's money, and certainly we're really good at doing that. But you're looking at a league that's going to 30 teams, that's been around almost 30 years, and with all due respect to all the leagues that have come before, you know there's a Wild West type of atmosphere. This is the most successful professional men's soccer league in North America in history. And it's because of the steady growth, it's because of the deep-pocketed ownership, and it's because of some pretty smart people that have steered this on and off the field. So I might want it to go faster, and I know others might want it to go faster and want changes to have to happen. But again, it's not our money. But if we don't use the opportunity that is 2026 in every instance, it's going to come and go like that. And once that circus leaves town, you want to make sure that you leave the landscape, and from an MLS perspective, relative to MLS, in the best possible position to succeed and to use that to grow faster than you would normally.
Yeah, it's a remarkable opportunity, and that's one you want to trickle down to every field in America without getting too deep here. All right, you've always been a proponent, and I've talked about this a lot. We're talking to Alexi Lalas of Fox Sports. The whole super club thing. I absolutely love what's going on in Miami. Buy every star you possibly can. It's on them to make it a team. Build everything around Messi that you can. Bring Suarez. Bring them all. Because I say this traveling roadshow is going to be good for MLS. I got a lot of pushback on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know that MLS, relative to pretty much every league around the world, is structured on manufactured parity and competitive balance. It is something that has been a focus and a desire since the league kicked off. You know, having said that, again, big bold things. Well, listen, starting Messi, that's as about as big and bold as you can possibly be. But I hope that it lights a fire in others, in other ownership and in other clubs out there to go out and to believe that they can do those things, but also to actually go out there and do it. Now, we know there's only one Messi, so there's only one way to do that, but there are other things that you can certainly do. I'm in your camp in that I love the fact that when the whistle starts here in a couple of months for MLS, that each and every fan of every team, whether it's Houston or any others, can get up on that first morning and know that they have a realistic chance of being the champion. That does not happen in other leagues. And I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and get rid of that type of effect, because I think that's really positive and, like I said, really unique. But I do want to give the ownership and the clubs out there that want to do something special, that want to spend more, that want to ultimately not only improve their product, but in doing so, the overall product of MLS, I want to give them the opportunity to do that. And sometimes the constraints, I mean, we're sitting right now here actually talking about a situation right now where we have a couple of players in Cape Cal, going down to Liga MX, and this possible, it's not an exodus or anything, but, Brandon Vasquez too, that's not a good thing in that these are players that made MLS a league of choice, and now because of the restrictions, these teams can't pay them what they are worth. And that's not a good message, I think, to send to future players that are deciding where they want to go. And I don't think that that's a great type of message to send to a league that does have aspirations of being the best in the world.
It's a very, very good point. There's a lot of people disappointed that Brandon Vasquez didn't go to Europe. He goes from FC Cincinnati to Monterrey in Mexico. Funes Mori, who everybody knows, is moving on to Pumas. He's going to have competition there, though. So for all those that think there's not competition there, by the way, I would make an argument living in Houston, because Houston is full of Monterrey and Tigres fans, right? I would make an argument that Monterrey, Mexico, might be the capital of soccer in this part of the world, certainly between CONCACAF countries, no question. And I would even put that maybe above Mexico City and Club America and Pumas. But he's going to an environment That's pressure-filled, incredibly gorgeous stadium. He's going to be under the microscope, and he's going to have to be produced. But I hear everybody, oh, it's a lateral move. Now, to your point, you want him retained in Major League Soccer, but we don't have the resources to do it, and we don't have the roster room to do it financially.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Kate Cowell to Chivas. That's a $4 million transfer fee to San Jose. That's going to be a bit of a test because that's a club that's had some indiscipline down there. That's why Veljko Panovic, I think, is not there anymore. So that's an interesting one. Okay, let's go to U.S. men's national team. Greg Berhalter, how much pressure's on him? And are we at a point in American soccer now where if he doesn't have a good Gold Cup, it could spell the end of his national team coaching career?
I think because of this particular moment that we are in relative to 2026, I think that it is both right and fair to look at this summer as vital to Greg Berhalter. We all know that he has been given a second chance, if you will. And, you know, the situation that happened after the World Cup, I'm happy that he was given that because by all accounts, he was going to be continuing in that position. And I never wanted him to lose out on that opportunity because of the ridiculousness that happened. Having said that, he was given a second chance, and that's not something that happens a lot in international soccer. You get a cycle usually, and then they move on, and they would have been well within their rights to continue on. And even with the baggage and all the craziness that happened, they could have said, you know what, it's just too much, we're going to go a different direction. But they didn't, and they believed in him, and that's all fine and well. But it is a short leash, and so this summer I think it is crucial for Greg Berhalter, that when that Gold Cup or when that Copa America is done, that we look around and we say, you know what, this team has progressed from the December Qatar World Cup that we saw them in. So they've individually and collectively gotten better, and that there is we believe that they are heading in the right direction under Greg Berhalter. Now, there'll be a whole section of people that no matter what Greg Berhalter does, they're going to want him out. That's fine. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people that are really looking at this team and saying, you know what? This is a team that I can get behind for that next couple of years going into 26. And I'm confident that when that platform and that opportunity that we've talked about arises in 2026, that we're going to have the best possible chance at success, and this is the guy that's going to lead us. And if not, this is the time that you need to make a choice, and you need to make a change if you don't think it's heading in the right direction because of what you saw in Copa America. And again, there will be people that say, well, that's not fair. No, you know what? You know, life isn't fair and soccer isn't fair, but I think it is fair at this point, given all the opportunity that Greg has, that we come out of that Copa America this summer, and we believe that this is heading in the right direction. And if we don't, I think it's completely legitimate and fair to say that they can make a change.
And believe me, there'll be people lining up to jump on that bandwagon to coach a World Cup team. All right, Alexi, we're up on a hard end of this show here tonight. Thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun. We could have kept going for a couple of hours. Really appreciate it. It's always fun catching up. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, my friend. You're a legend. Keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Alexi Lalas, former U.S. International, World Cup veteran, Fox analyst, and he's got the podcast, Alexi Lalas, State of the Union. He's going to do it tonight here behind the glass. Guillermo Lazo Romero, great job as always. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central. We'll have more Dynamo talk tomorrow night and maybe a few updates on the Houston Dynamo as they will be back in action real soon. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sox, Soccer Matters GD, podcast at Spotify, Google, Apple, ESPN975.com. And until tomorrow night, remember, soccer matters.